This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Stock futures, they're down. Again, we're 3 hours away. The interesting thing to keep an eye on is energy prices. Oil's under $58 a barrel. I mean, that's going to, if that sustains itself in the 50s, that will bring gas prices, from my standpoint, definitely nationally under $3 a gallon. They're $3.17 right now nationally. And not really the point where it's not profitable for those frackers, but. You definitely don't want to go in the 40s. They'd be in a little bit of trouble. Jill Schlesinger, CBS News, Jill on Money. You go to jillonmoney.com to read the blog. Good morning, Jill. How are you?
You know, I was just looking up just for fun what the high print was for that AAA national average, which you, as you said, 317. Do you remember this? It seems like just yesterday. Anyway, 3 years ago. It was the high print, June 14th, 2022.
Was it over
$5?
At national average, not just California?
National average, just over $5. $5 and a penny. Yeah, you're right. I mean, listen, this is it's a very strange situation right now because, you know, here we are. We're going to have a Federal Reserve meeting. And we, as you said, you know, there are certain parts of the economy that are showing prices going down. Oil, obviously, being one big one. Which is really a sign that investors believe that there will be a lower demand for crude oil, right? Because the economies around the globe are probably going to slow down because of those Trump tariffs. On the other hand, there are other prices that are expected to rise. And so I think the Fed's in quite a quandary right now, simply because they're looking at a situation that's sort of murky. And they don't have data that will allow them to really suss out what's going on just yet. So I think they're probably going to leave rates exactly where they are, which is 4.25% to 4.5%. That's where they've been since December.
And the president won't like it. But yeah, I'm obsessed with Polymarket now. They say 95% chance, no change from the Fed. Yeah. You know, but you wrote a little bit this week about the consumer. And from my perspective, and we talked about this a while back when inflation was a problem, credit card debt was going to explode because if Americans were getting higher prices and their wages weren't increasing in lockstep, and they wanted to maintain their lifestyle, then either they had to spend out their savings or increase their debt. And this is what we're seeing.
Yeah, they had a lot of savings. Don't forget, we had a very, very hefty savings rate. And money did pile up in the bank for so many Americans during COVID. We kind of forget that, right? There was, you know, listen, I know it's only a few years back, but, you know, our brains would not like to go back there. I think this is why people have multiple children. They don't go back in time. And so, you know, what happened is that people had a ton of money that was saved up. And then when COVID ended, they started spending like crazy. And then inflation came and they kept spending because they had to, right? And as you said, for a lot of people, their money that was coming in, their income was not keeping up with those price increases, right? We're getting 7, 8, 9% inflation rates. So you're right that a lot of people were forced to spend down their savings. And now we are seeing that folks are bulking up on that credit card balance. And, you know, and it's fine to have a credit card balance, you think, because you're like, well, I'm keeping up with my payments. But when you start falling behind on your payments, that's when the bells start to ring for a lot of economists. And JP Morgan Chase, they actually reported their earnings a couple of weeks ago, and they said, hey, you know, we've got a lot of folks who have credit card balances, and we're never going to get them back. And they wrote off a lot. They wrote off a lot, meaning that they don't believe that a lot of their consumers with credit card debt are able to pay them back at all.
Wow.
And so this is sort of syncs up with some data from the Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia. They just are seeing more consumer stress because of those credit card balances. Doesn't it kind of make sense? I mean, look, I get it when everyone's like, oh, interest rates, they're, you know, the Federal Reserve keeping interest rates at 4.25% to 4.5% doesn't seem that bad. But when you look at credit card balance interest rates, almost 22%, yowza.
Right. And then it becomes this sort of death spiral of debt. I'm curious. I don't feel like this is asked enough, or I don't know if you get asked this, but like someone's trying to manage their household and they're having to deal with this. You know, maybe they can't make ends meet exactly the way they want. And we know that if you like sell a stock, then you're taking away all this future growth. But like based on interest rates the way they are now, what we just talked about with credit card debt, if someone needs to manage a debt, is it better to like sell some assets or to add on to debt?
You know, I think this is one of the hardest decisions, but it's sort of what we call in behavioral economics is mental accounting, where you see one side, like just draw in your mind's eye, just think, okay, there's a T at the top of a piece of paper. And on the left side is the stuff you own, and on the right side is the stuff you owe. That's your plain old balance sheet. So let's say on the left side, you had like your grandma left you some stock in IBM, and it's sitting there, and you've always said, I just want to save that because that's grandma's stock. But on the right side, you have the exact same amount of money in credit card debt. Okay, so now you're like, I don't want to sell that stock because I don't want to have a capital gains tax, and also it's Nana's stock, right? And I would say to you, listen, if you've got this massive debt on the right side of the equation and it's costing you 22%, maybe more, maybe it's 29% every year, you got to sell that stock. That is an asset that your grandmother left for you, not for just to sit on a balance sheet, so that you could get yourself out of trouble. So absolutely, just think of it this way. Where will you be guaranteed a 22% return? That's what's happening when you're paying off a debt at that high interest rate. You're locking in a rate of return that is guaranteed, that is so much higher. I mean, you've been covering this area for a long time. If you said to an investor, I have a guaranteed rate of return of 8%, they'd be like, oh my God, let's pile in.
Yeah.
This is 22%, gang. So try to unburden yourself if you have that ability.
Even with the offset of your cap gains.
Absolutely. Still, yeah. Capital gains rates are so low right now. Like, just do it. Swallow that. But you know, I love
what are they, by the way, is like 20, what is it, 20% for cap?
Well, okay, so capital gains, long-term, just to remind everybody, is like when something goes up in value and then you sell it, you pay something. Long-term capital gains, you hold it for more than a year. If you're married filing jointly and you make under 600 grand, like from somewhere between $96,000 and $600,000 a year, married filing jointly, capital gains rates are 15%. And if you make more than $250,000, it goes up to 18.8%. So we're talking about, for most people, no more than 20%. That's a steal. Pay that and don't look back.
That's really good. Interesting advice, because I don't think we've ever talked in those terms before. So it was good to know. Any data points this week people should know about?
Besides the Fed, nothing really. Like, it's all Fed all the time. And it starts tomorrow, comes out on Wednesday. He'll have a press conference. Fed Chair Powell will have a press conference. As you said, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of politics floating around it. And by the way, there are some economists who really think the Fed should cut. But I just don't think the mood of the Fed has been, oh, we are going to wait to see if inflation bubbles up and then we'll act. I just don't see that being the Fed that we have.
And the jobs report doesn't help, you know, rate cutting.
That's Hawks. Right. And remember, they're human beings. And so if they don't want to be the Fed that presides over a resurgence in inflation, they just don't.
Yep. Jill, I hope you have a great week.
You too.
All right. Be well.